Welcome to the F Sharp Podcast, presented by Harmony Wealth, a podcast geared to educate you on all things financial. Co-hosts Tanner Bortnum and Adam Henning discuss various financial topics presented in a consumable and entertaining manner. Tanner is a certified financial planner, JD, and financial expert, while Adam is a marketing professional and small business owner. It's time to harmonize. Sit back and enjoy the episode. Your future self will thank you.
Welcome to episode 59 of the F Sharp Podcast, presented by Harmony Wealth, a podcast geared to educate you on all things financial. I'm your co-host, Adam Henning, marketing professional, small business owner, and I'm joined with co-host Tanner Bortnum. Tanner's a certified financial planner, JD, and financial expert. Episode 59, we are coming off a market update. In this episode, we're going to talk about dividend stocks. According to Tanner, the unsung heroes of a portfolio. So with that, we'll welcome in Tanner and jump right in. And what is a dividend stock if you're listening and don't know?
Yeah. So a dividend stock, obviously it's a stock, easy one that everyone knows about. Think of like Coca-Cola, Walmart, Pepsi, 3M, companies like that. So they are typically very well established, been around, businesses that have been around for quite a while. And instead of trying to return value to clients via continued growth and the, appreciation of their stock value, they are companies that tend to have a lot of cash on hand that come in. And so they pay out value to their clients via dividends. And obviously these dividends can range from very, very small to, reasonably, low double digits, dividends, for just depending upon the company, where they're at, and the cash flow that they have.
Does the type of business usually, influence the decision to become a dividend yielding, stock?
Less
technology based, I would assume.
Yep. You hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what I was going to say, is they tend to be companies that sell stuff. Technology companies sell stuff too, but,
utility based.
Yeah. Yes. Utilities, other great work. Utilities tend to be very heavy in dividends, and, maybe people have heard them as like blue chip companies. You know, their companies have been around a long time. And so their growth phase is over. Not that they're not trying to grow, just their hyper growth phase is over. They're not a startup anymore. They're not early phase. They have their products. People love their products, and they just keep making money off their products. And really the only growth is, you know, Coca-Cola, right? How do they grow? They either need to create a new line of some food or drink to add to their lineup. They need to buy another company so that they have more food or drink in their lineup.
Which they do lots of.
Right. They need to get more people to drink soda or eat their food, which, you know, there's always more people on the earth, but that's a harder and harder task when you're a huge, you know, multinational, you know, global stock like Coca-Cola is, or you can raise prices a little bit. So, you know, there really isn't room for huge leaps and bounds in growth for Coca-Cola. And so instead they have a bunch of cash because they don't have a bunch of debt. They're a well-run company. And so they just have a stockpile of cash and they say, well, we'll get value back to our shareholders this way instead. And we'll just give them a dividend.
And what is a dividend?
Well, yeah, it's just payout. It's just a payout of some of the cash. For easy math, for myself.
Okay, I'll let you do the math first, and then I'll ask how often they...
Well, that's actually where I was going. Okay. So, again, well done. So, companies pay this out quarterly. I was just trying to think there. I don't know if that's necessarily a rule, but I also don't know any company that doesn't pay it any other way. So they pay quarterly dividends. So if your dividend, if we own Coca-Cola, and they're going to pay us $4 a year per share, they're going to give us a dollar a quarter. So they just, whatever dividend dollar amount that they're going to pay out, It just gets divided by four, and you get that as each quarter comes up.
So obviously we want to find the highest yielding dividend possible.
Is that no? No, not necessarily. Not necessarily because if companies have too high of a dividend, you know, we start getting into the 10. Well, I mean, even it depends. You start pushing 6+. Can some companies do that? Some utility companies can. But you start getting up into the higher single digits and the lower double digit numbers for a dividend, and that is a lot of cash to have to give out every single year. And most companies, even very well-run companies, can't do that. And so it is nice if a company can handle that, but typically what you see is companies that have really, really high dividends like that, there's one of two things that are happening. They are either under some financial stress and their stock price has gone down, or they are going to cut the dividend, and you don't want that. You don't want to buy into a company expecting X and all of a sudden you're getting half of X because they cut the dividend. So that's it can be a sign of weakness for a company if the dividend is too high. And I just realized that I need to explain something very quickly in all of that. When I'm talking the low single digits to, or sorry, high single digits to low double digits, I'm talking about the yield, the dividend yield, not the dividend dollar amount. So what a dividend yield is, or when you just see what is the dividend, typically it's a percentage. And so using that Coca-Cola example, if you're going to get $4, and if Coca-Cola is at $100 a share, that's a 4% dividend that they're going to pay you. And so when you start seeing that percentage get up into the low single digits, or God darn it, I did it again. Start getting up into the high single digits or the low double digits. That's when it can be a sign of stress to the company, because not a lot of companies can give out 8, 9, 10, 11, 12% of their growth, or not of their growth, of their cash every single year, back to back to back to back, you know, of the company's profits. So anyways, yeah, not always the best case to just go chasing the highest yielding dividends. But the key is, and why I, you know, as you alluded to at the beginning, why I call them the unsung heroes, is the key is to find great companies. I'm going to continue using Coca-Cola because everyone is familiar with them, but there are many others. And some of us may have heard of what are called dividend aristocrats or dividend kings. I am obviously a bigger fan of dividend kings. What dividend kings are stocks that have consistently raised their dividend. So now we're talking the dollar amount. So Coca-Cola is going to give $4 this year. That means next year they're going to raise that and they're going to give you $4.50. And then the next year they're going to give you $5, and the next year, or whatever they end up. But they have raised their dividend consecutively more than 50 years in a row to be a dividend king. So it's not something that's really easy to get into. That's a long time of consecutive years of raising dividends. And then the dividend aristocrats.
Is that just an industry term?
Yes. Yep. Because the dividend aristocrats is same thing, but a 25-year threshold. So also good companies in there, just they haven't been doing it as long. Okay. Now, the reason I say that these types of dividend stocks are the unsung heroes is how that dividend that you get, and I have an example here to go over to help this, but how you as the investor and how that dividend that you get when you purchase it, if you are a buy and hold investor, sits and compounds as well with you. And the craziest part, I know we're talking about this before, you know, offline beforehand, this was something that just kind of, I kind of had an aha moment, and it's not the fact that I'm a genius by any means. It's just like, this is not taught for my securities licenses. This wasn't gone over in the CFP. I've been to tons of conferences. Like, this isn't really discussed in terms of this dividend growing power of owning companies that consistently raise their dividend year in and year out, because it's not sexy, right? Everyone wants the huge growth stocks. So we want to buy Nvidia. We want to buy Tesla, 10 years ago. We want to buy Amazon 20 years ago. We want to buy those types of companies because that is exciting and there's big gains. And they are exciting, and that deserves a portion of your portfolio. But these dividend kings, or even the aristocrats for 25 years, the reason that they're so powerful is, let's say, and I'm going to make up numbers, you can pretend if you want that it's still Coca-Cola as a company, but it doesn't matter. Your dividend stock that you decide to buy is $100. They're going to give you a 3% dividend, which means they're going to give you $3 a year, right? So you buy that, and year one, they gave you $3. Now you can take that, and that's $3 per share. So you can take that $3, do whatever you want with it, or you can take that $3 and reinvest it and buy more of the company. So now you own a couple more shares of it, or partial shares. But the power of this comes with, as you hold this, let's say that over the next 10 years, that stock is now worth $200. So you've had 100% growth in the value of it. Growth stocks are going to be higher than that. Nvidia did better than that over a 10-year period, much better than that. But so you've gone up in value, so you did have growth in it, but the company still wants to keep raising their dividends. And so they decide, we want to keep it around this 3% mark. So we all along have been continuing to raise our dividends. So 10 years from now, that dividend per share is now $6. So and this is the part that no one ever really talks about. When you go look up this stock 10 years from now, it's going to show that the dividend yield is still 3%. Because that's what it is today. Well, I mean, not today, but that's what it is at that time, 10 years from now. It will be 3% because they're giving $6 at $200 per share. But the part is that isn't tracked on statements, the part that isn't discussed is, you didn't buy it for $200. You bought that at $100. So your dividend yield is actually 6%. Because you're getting $6 a share 10 years from now, but you only paid $100 a share to get that. So as you sit there and you let these companies keep doing this over and over and over again, all of a sudden it doesn't take all that long and you have a very low volatility company, blue chip, kind of salt of the earth company like Coca-Cola, 3M, Walmart, Procter & Gamble, good companies, can they go out of business? Sure, but the likelihood of them doing that or having a lot of volatility, adding a lot of volatility to your portfolio is pretty small. And you can pretty quickly get to the point where all of a sudden your personal dividend yield is double digits every single year. Now, the stock itself is not growing double digits a year, but you're getting paid out and it doesn't matter. It's the same result. If a company goes up 10% or they just give you 10%, it's still the same result to you. And so they should have a place in most people's portfolio because it's just a really good foundational type of investment that is going to help lower your volatility, but yet is still going to get you some pretty big returns. You just got to wait for them a little bit, and it's less aggressive and less risky than trying to find the next Tesla or the next Nvidia, because yeah, you might find one of them, but you're going to strike out 9 times before you do it.
That was the question I asked for those that are I made sure to ask offline. I'm not embarrassed to ask about it now, but to flesh out that response, I said, okay, why wouldn't everybody do this? And explain it to me like a fifth grader. Yeah. So is it just a little bit of it's boring and takes a long time, or B, in a mixture of it allows me to, like you said, reduce my risk. I have a portion of it while I can kind of go and chase for the Teslas and the fun, sexy, fast NVIDIAs of the world? Or is it really more of A than B?
I think it's more A. I have yet to meet another advisor that talks about this.
Why?
Because I don't think...
Doesn't make them look...
No.
Lowers their expertise, or I just...
No, I actually... You know, I was going to pause, but then I remembered the premise of why we started this podcast, and it was to pull the curtain back. So I try to be kind, but I will always, you know, tell it straight to our listeners. It is because most advisors
don't know what you just explained.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And the fact that they don't know that is because they know what is being told to them by a wholesaler from some company. Because that's an easy story, right? It's a lot easier to say, hey, Adam, you have all the, you know, I'm going to take it out of the financial world. You have all of these options of different sodas that you can sell to your clients. And I'm going to tell you why Coca-Cola is the best and you should sell it. And then you just believe me. You don't go in and test anything. You don't look up anything. You're just like, yeah, that's easier. I agree. And you just sell that story. That's what most of my industry is. Like most of these people are just... They either have way too many clients, they don't have the expertise that they claim to, or they're just doing what's easy so that they can get out to the golf course faster. And it's just...
What do you mean? This is the easiest thing.
it is. But again, it's not the sexy thing, right? When you're in... I mean, again, I hate it. I hate this about my industry. It is still a sales industry for the most part. It is... Everyone has the name financial advisor or financial planner or wealth advisor, but very few of the people in my industry actually advise. They're just salespeople. And so what is easier to sell? The sexy Ferrari or the Toyota Camry? The sexy Ferrari is easier to sell. Now, again, those have different price points, but when it's financial advising, they don't. It's just... Do you want to put $5,000 into, you know, the next Tesla, or do you want to put $5,000 into Coca-Cola? People are going to be like, no, I want to get the next Tesla because it's, of course, that one's going to go up just like Tesla did, or, you know, whatever. And so it's much easier to sell the idea of growth than it is to sell the idea of this. And to me, it's just kind of... Yeah, it's kind of baffling. Now, I'm not saying that this is the only thing people should be in and they shouldn't try to find the next Tesla or any of that. I'm just saying this is a really, really good section that should be in, I'll say, most people's portfolio as that bedrock, that foundational piece that's just going to sit there and just churn out dividends for you and just keep reinvesting those dividends if you don't need the money and keep letting Coca-Cola pay you to buy more of their stock. Because basically they're buying more of the stock for you. And just keep doing that until 10, 15, 20 years go by. And all of a sudden now Coca-Cola is really paying you out 10, 15% per year on the amount of money you put in. That's a good investment into, you know, and again, it's not into perpetuity, but Coca-Cola, I have the list here. Coca-Cola has raised dividends 61 years in a row. That's a good track record. It's a really good track record. So
we talked about the benefit from our side or the mm-hmm. investor side. What's the benefit from Coca-Cola's side to offer a dividend yielding stock option?
Well, really, it's because it's companies. You know, as I said earlier, they get to a certain point where they aren't in growth mode anymore, and this is a way to, you know, thank and reward their owners. The stock, you know, people who own stock are the owners of the company. And so it's a way to return some of that money back to them because they're not reinvesting it back into the company like growth stocks do. Growth stocks who don't pay dividends, they're taking any gains that they have and they're putting it right back into the company to try to grow more. in a dividend company, they have a bunch of cash and they're like, we don't need to reinvest this into the company. We're good. So let's just give it to our owners. And so it's really just kind of a transition that you see, minus the technology sector, you see a lot of companies. I mean, even Apple. And actually, NVIDIA does have a dividend. It's just extremely small. But Apple has a dividend.
Does the medical field do it? Or the medical sector?
Yes.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
I feel now, like they would be high growth.
Well, some. Now, again, it's not every right. company. But yeah, there are companies like AbbVie is a really good... they are in the Dividend Aristocrats, I believe. I don't think they've done the 50 years, but they have a pretty good dividend that's, you know, 4 or 5%. And they're a, you know, biotech, but also, you know, medical manufacturing company. So it's kind of the evolution. If you're not in the tech industry, it's kind of the evolution of your company that if you stick around long enough, you eventually kind of run out of growth and you say, we're good. But you still keep making a bunch of money, so you just give it to your stock owners in a different way via the dividends.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Up in your neck of the woods, 3M, 65 years in a
terrible
row.
Terrible company. What? I said that alone? Terrible company.
Target up in yours, 52 years in a row. I'm trying to think what other ones. We'll go through this and see what other ones are in. Yeah, none of the other ones I know are. They could be in Minnesota, but I'm not aware of it.
Best Buy wouldn't be.
No, Best Buy is not enough. Like Walmart, S&P Global, Nucor is a steel company, Lowe's, PepsiCo, Kimberly-Clark, Abbott Labs, AbbVie. They both are. Both right there. Healthcare. Yep, they're both at 52 years. AbbVie and Abbott. I thought they were aristocrats, but they're in the kings. Procter & Gamble, Target, Illinois Tool Works, you know, a lot of these people have heard of. They're
How about
just
Boeing. I had to get that in there.
No, Boeing is not in the dividend kings. I doubt they're in the aristocrat. Because that's the other part is, it's not that you have a dividend. Like I want to make sure we go over it. It is not that you have a dividend. It is that you not only have a dividend but consistently raised it every single year. For at least 50 years, you have increased that dividend payout.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yes.
Those two terms.
Yep. So if you miss 1 year, you're out. If you cut your dividend, you're out. If you just keep your dividend the same, you're out. Like, so these companies have consistently raised those dividends.
ADM, interesting.
That's yeah.
Illinois based, but.
And a lot of them are, you know, like utilities, industrials, consumer goods, industrials, a couple healthcare, a couple financial, but most of them are utilities, industrials, you know, consumer goods, energy. So it's mostly those companies. You see none of them in here that are tech.
So you're going back to that dividend yield, that high single digit could be more of an attraction and it's kind of a red flag?
Yes. I would say it's more of a red flag than it doesn't mean the company's bad. It just means you need to, well, first off, you need to do your homework on any stock that you're going to buy. But if that dividend yield, the percentage starts getting into the high single digits, you start getting 7, 8, 9% or higher, it's time to look at the company because that's really high. Now, can some companies, utilities primarily, handle a payout like that? Yes. But if Coca-Cola has all of a sudden jumped to a 9% dividend, that would be more alarming to me than a green light special. I'd be like, what's wrong with Coke? Why is this dividend so high? Are they going to have to cut their dividend because it's too high? Because again, you got to remember that percentage is today's percentage or whatever day you're looking at percentage for the yield, because it looks at what is the company currently paying out dollar amounts divided by the current stock price. So it is always a changing percentage. So the only way for that percentage to get really high is that the company said, we're willing to pay out, I'll go back to my example of Coke, right? We're going to pay out $4 a year and our current stock price is 100. So it's a 4% yield. We're good with that. So the only way for that 4% yield to get up to 8 is that the price of Coke has to drop to 50. Because they're still giving out $4 a year, but now the price of the stock is 50. And now you're going to say, ooh, why did Coca-Cola just get cut in half stock price wise? What's going on? Did the government just ban all soft drinks? You're like, what, like, why is this happening? So it could be, who knows? Could be completely fine. Maybe they had an outbreak of salmonella, and so it was a knee-jerk reaction, but we know that everybody's going to go back and still drink soda. It's just a short-term thing. Okay, that's a different scenario. Then sure, hey, load up. But if it's looking more like a long-term thing, then you could raise, you know, more red flags.
Interesting.
Yeah. Good stuff. Unsung heroes. So I'll sing their praise on this podcast.
Oh, good one.
Just came up with it.
We have a few music puns.
I did. That's show. Right. So. On F sharp. I will sing an F sharp for them. That's what I should have said. Blew it. Yep. Time's passed. You blew it. All right. Yep. Let's wrap it up.
Anything else you want to add?
Nope. All good.
All right. We hope this episode has been helpful. As always, thank you for listening. If you haven't yet, please like, subscribe, leave us a review. If you have any questions or suggestions for future podcast episode topics, shoot us an email at podcast@financiallysharp.com. That's podcast@financiallysharp.com. For Tanner, I'm Adam. You will see us and hear us in the next episode. Stay financially sharp.
This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. This podcast does not engage in rendering legal, tax, financial, or other professional services. Investment advisory services are offered through Harmony Wealth, a registered investment advisor authorized to do business in states where registered or otherwise exempt from registration. If you have questions pertaining to your specific situation, please contact Harmony Wealth at 602-935-5155 or at harmonywealthaz.com.